We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Everybody, how you doing? Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. We're in Plano, Texas, and you're like, well, I know we're in Plano, Texas because you're in the room, but we have people joining us online, and you might not know where we are. We are in Plano, Texas. If you're anywhere near us, we'd love for you to come out and spend some time worshiping with us. Also want to welcome all our online attendees. We've got Facebook Live right here. Hello to each and every one of you. Hello to our podcasters, our YouTubers, our Vimeo people. Wherever you're accessing this message, I want to greet you. And if this message blesses you, please share it with somebody. It's so easy to share. You just push share. How about that? Is that easy enough? You just push share, right? Maybe leave us a comment. Leave us a little thumbs up. We love that stuff. All right. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to be lead pastor here. I love being pastor here of this church. I love the heartbeat of this church. I love you guys. You guys are giving people. You guys are loving people. You guys are friendly people. You guys are brave people. I love the people of Redemption Church. I do. I don't take it back. I love y'all. We're starting a brand new sermon series today. What is it called? It's called The Lame Games We Play. The Lame Games We Play. Did you enjoy that intro video? Did you recognize any of those deaths, right? Yeah, I lived a few of those deaths there on that video game system. There is still a place in my heart that loves old video games, especially the ones that I used to play. That video was created, I wanted to give credit to Rob Bashiza of Bing Bong Videos on YouTube. We connected with him. He said it would be okay for us to use that video. I love it. You go look it up. There's plenty more video game deaths on that video. It was great. And also, the song, anybody know the name of that song? What was the name of that song? Nobody knows? Oh my, come on, somebody be brave. It's Mad World, Tears of Fears. Nobody? Donnie Darko, anybody? No one knows. All right, give it another listen later. All right. Are there any video game fans in the room? Anybody play a video game or two in their life? I grew up on video games. I remember opening up a Nintendo for Christmas in the late 80s. I know that that makes me an ancient old person. Please be kind to me. It's not nice to laugh at old people. All right. I remember playing classic video games like Super Mario Brothers. Somebody said amen. Of course, Legend of Zelda. Anybody said amen? Metroid, anybody ever play Metroid? Mega Man, anybody play these games? All right. I played countless hours of these games until I beat it. And then once I beat the game, I would replay the game to beat it better. That's, anybody relate to that? I would replay the game until I mastered that game. Ask me about the time I made it all the way to Ganon without a sword. Hashtag Nerd Hall of Fame. Yes, that's right. Legend of Zelda, where you're supposed to go in there into the castle. It's dangerous to go alone. Here is a sword. Never went in there, made it all the way to Ganon without a sword. Yeah, I am a bigger nerd than you were growing up. And I still am. All right. It seemed like every game I played was just a new version of awesome back then. That's how it felt. In fact, I didn't understand that they could make a bad video game. I played this one, and then the next one, and then every game I played was just amazing. And then I saw this game. So remember, every game I've ever seen is an awesome game, a fun game, a totally worthwhile venture. And then I see this game right there. I remember vividly Athena for the Nintendo Entertainment System, the 1987 SNK Electronics Corp. This is what the box looked like. And look, you got Medusa in the background. You've got some winged, caped person with the sword. This could possibly be the greatest game ever. That is what 8-year-old me thought. This game is probably the game I've been waiting for all of my life. But this is what I experienced. This is what I expected, looking at the packaging. However, I want to show you what I experienced when I got past the packaging. Get a load of this. On and on. The music of this game will get stuck in your heads. I'm so sorry. But this game, if you notice, it gets jerky. The gameplay was terrible. It was just dumb. At times, it just would never end. And half the time, this game would freeze on me, and there was no continuing. How do you get past this guy? Well, you walk behind him and you push A about 125 times. That's how you beat him. And notice the pixels, like the characters actually disappear if you push the button too many times. This was a terrible game. Do you agree with me? Or do I need to show you more footage of Athena for you to agree? This was not fun like Super Mario's was fun. This was not fun like even Excitebike was fun. Me and my wife, we talked about old video games. We both had Excitebike. Anybody have Excitebike? Ramp, 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 ramp. Anyone? You just make your own racing track and it was all ramps. This was such a lame game. There is such thing as a lame game. This game was not worth the money. This game was not worth the time spent playing it. Even beating the game was an absolute waste. What a completely lame game. I told you, even half the time when I was doing really good in the game, it would freeze on you and you'd have to start all the way over. It had this annoying knack of you would finally get a good weapon, but you would kill an enemy and they'd drop a lame weapon and you'd pick it up and then you lost your awesome flame sword. All these things, they were so frustrating to 7-year-old me, 8-year-old me. If I could go back in time, I would go up to that little kid and I would slap this game right out of their hand. And I would just take them by the hand. I would take them over to the Mega Man section. That's what I would do if I could. If I could go back in time, I'd say to myself, I'd say, follow me if you want to live. And then I'd take me to Mega Man. I was a victim of packaging. Can you say victim of packaging? Have you ever been a victim of packaging? The internet's filled with victims of packaging. If you're not careful, you'll think you just got a sweet deal on some large piece of equipment, but then it comes and it was some miniature thing, and no wonder it was cheap. Like, it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, oh, it's not 5 feet, it's 5 centimeters. Oh, all right. A lot of terrible things have great packaging. You may have bought a few things that looked great in the packaging, but they were useless outside of the packaging. Don't make big, important decisions based on the packaging. You'll get in some serious trouble. Can you, Pastor, preach for a moment? All right. Don't fall for the packaging you see in the late night hours at the club. That is not some packaging you want to spend your life on. Young ladies, don't you fall for clever pickup lines. You better find out who they are on the inside. Can I get an amen? Is that all right if we say that in the house of God? We've got this false packaging in our system that tells teenagers that they need to lose their virginity as soon as possible, that somehow having multiple sex partners is preferable than being a virgin. That is some false packaging. You better not fall for it. There are cruel drug addictions once you get past the packaging. There are shakes and tremors trying to get off the addiction once you've gotten past the packaging. People have ended up in jail because they were enticed by the packaging. Put the credit card down because past the packaging, there is credit card debt and it's going to cost you with interest. You may be bumping that music and you might just be saying, listen, I just like the beat. But let me tell you, past that packaging, you ought to hear those words that are being sung because they are offensive and displeasing to God. And sometimes just decent human beings. Can we get real? Don't you dare be bumping some music that's talking nasty about women. Don't you talk nasty about God. Don't you talk nasty about people. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right. Good job. Just like Athena was a terrible product with great packaging, I want to tell you today that sin is a terrible product with great packaging. You following me? There are games in life that are going to leave you frustrated and empty. There are games in life that will leave you wishing that you would have never picked it up in the first place. I wish I would have never met that person. There are people that are saying that right now. I wish I would have never even met that person. I wish I never would have gone out on that day. I wish I never would have, dot, dot, dot. I wish I never would have said yes. How could I have said yes? There is somebody that's sitting in a jail cell and they just keep saying that question, that statement over and over again. Why did I say yes to those people who didn't care about me? I wish I would have never opened myself up to them. I gave them a special part of my life. I gave them more than they could have ever deserved. Why did I do that? I wish I would have never trusted them. Oh my goodness, packaging. Packaging will mess you up. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were offered a terrible product, but it had great packaging. Let's read about it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Very next verse, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? You will not certainly die. That's what he says in verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. Verse 5, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God said, when you eat it, you're gonna die. That's what he said. Don't eat of it, lest you die. Right? That's what he says. God said that this was a product you don't want to buy. He tells them, do not buy this product. Everything else, buy it, have fun with it, it's great. But this one thing right here, this is lousy and you're going to die. Don't do it. All right? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is, somebody help me, death. Anybody want to purchase death? Anybody want to do something that ends up in death? There, you have serious problems if that's how you're thinking. We had a rock star this week, singer for Linkin Park. He did just that very thing. What a terrible thing, left wife and children behind to pursue death. Now you and me, if we're in a right heart and right mind, that's not something we want, right? We don't want death. Yet, the serpent puts enticing packaging on this terrible product called sin. Sin ends in death, but that's not what's on the cover. That's not what's on the packaging. What's on the packaging is good looking. It's great. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. You will not die, the serpent said. Verse 5. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. All right, so what did she do? She inspected the packaging. She looked at the packaging and thought, it was good. Wait a second. She said that it was good. Do you see that verse right there? When she saw that the fruit of the tree was good. Who was the first person in the Bible to utter the phrase good? It was God. When did he do it? Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. He would create, and then he would step back and say, it was good. All right, so wait. She declares right here that it's good. That's exactly what God declares. Let me just ask you this. Who gives us the notion that we can declare what good is? Who gave you the notion that you can declare what is good? The Creator, He's the one who has the right to declare what is good. But when she's around a serpent, when she's around falsehoods, the next thing you know, she starts declaring what is good. Are you following with me? Are you with me? We live in a world that is constantly trying to redefine what is good. When God has already defined it, our world is trying to redefine what is good. The serpent redefined what was good in Genesis chapter 3. And Eve ate it. She turned around and took it to her husband Adam. And he too ate of the fruit. The serpent gave us this notion that we could redefine what God had defined as good. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Who put darkness for light. And light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. What is that basically saying? Let me break it down for you. Beware when the world calls good evil and evil good. You better watch out when somebody comes up that what God has declared to not be good, they declare to you it is good. Why don't you go ahead and take it? You're sure, I know the Bible says that, but you know, that's not really what that means. And you know, if you really looked at it this way, and they declare something to you that is not in the Word of God, that is not what the Creator intended it for, you better be careful. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. A victim of packaging. Don't be a victim of packaging. No matter how loudly someone yells, the Athena video game for the Nintendo Entertainment System is such a good game. We know better. It's not a good game. It's not. The game is lame. Don't be a victim of the packaging. Adam and Eve thought that they were purchasing something good and pleasant to the eye and a way to gain good wisdom and become like God. Those are the exact words that she says. Those are the ideas that she says. I'm going to purchase something that's pleasant to the eye, a way to gain wisdom, and I'm going to end up being like God. But that's what was on the packaging, yet not what was inside the package. What was inside the package was shame. Look at somebody, say shame. That's what was on the inside. Too many times you get past that packaging and there's something there you were not expecting. And in this case, they experienced shame. Have you ever felt shame before? Yeah. Be honest. Raise your hand if you felt shame before. All of this, that ought to be like everybody in this house. We have all felt shame. That is a human thing that we've all felt before. Shame did not exist until Adam and Eve listened to that serpent. We read this verse, Genesis 2:25. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. They were naked. They make a big deal later in the text that they were naked. They were naked earlier, but they felt no shame. Shame only showed up after the serpent. Before they followed the serpent, they were naked and felt no shame. But then after sin, let's see what happens. Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Suddenly they realized. Somebody say realized. They realized they were naked. They realized they were different. They realized that the situation had changed. Let me give you a little definition of shame. Shame is a realization of what you have done and what you have become. Shame is a realization of what you have done and what you have become. Nothing makes you feel shame like realizing what you've done and realizing what you've become. It hits hard. No one wants shame. No one signs up for shame. Oh, please, please shame me. Please, please, anyone. No, no. We fall victim to false packaging and then realize the product wasn't what we were told it would be. We were told it would be good. We were told it would be pleasurable. We told it would be beneficial. But as soon as we partake of the forbidden fruit, we realize the shame of what we've done. And we realize the shame of what we have become. Worse than the shame that hits us is the shame we continually play with. I want to talk to you about the shame game. We have these lame games that we play in life, and one of them is the shame game. I'm hoping today before we're done that somebody puts the shame game in the trash. What did Adam and Eve do after they realized their shame? The first time they ever felt shame, what did they do? They tried to cover their shame. They hid from God. And if that wasn't enough, they took leaves and they sewed them together and they tried to fashion something that would cover their shame, cover their nakedness. They reached for anything around them that they could find to save them from their shame. Oh man, isn't that what humanity does? We look around us for anything. We will reach for things we never would have reached before when shame is in the picture. They tried to fix it themselves. How about this one? They tried to make their shame manageable. Yeah, I'll just manage this. I'll just try to, maybe I'll take some medicine. Maybe I'll just go have a little to drink. Maybe I'll just distract myself enough so I don't feel what I'm feeling. Maybe I'll just go take out the credit card and buy stuff. People do this. It's a sickness. It's a shame game. They realized their shame and attempted to hide their shame so that others wouldn't realize. Remember what shame is? It's the realization. So when you play the shame game, you're trying to keep others from realizing what you already know. When you feel shame, you will be tempted to play the shame game. No one had to teach Adam and Eve to hide their shame. The serpent told them about the tree. He didn't tell them about covering their sin. The serpent, we have no quotes of the serpent say, "Hey, you better go hide." No, they did that all on their own. They didn't need the serpent's advice here. The effort to hide their shame came naturally from them. When you feel like hiding in life, you're feeling the exact thing that Adam and Eve felt. When you're trying to cover up your mistakes, sometimes the number one reason we lie is to do what? To cover up our shame. How does that work? I've done something shameful. I know what I'll do. I'll lie about it. That's what we do. No one has to teach us to do that. Little kids know how to do this innately. It's inside them. It's in us. I think you would agree that it comes naturally to us. the hiding and the covering of our shame. The truth is that humans will go to great lengths to hide their shame. We hide it like it never existed. We hide it behind justifiable excuses. Have you ever heard somebody just make excuse after excuse after excuse? Rather than facing what they've done, they've said, well, you know, I went through a lot as a kid. Well, you know, I did that, but only because they did that to me. Well, sure, I did that, but you know, I've got a good reason. Justifiable excuses to help cover up their shame. The game is simple. Hide. And since Genesis 3, we have tried to hide the shame. That's what the shame game is. The shame game is a game you'll regret playing. The game is not fun. You'll wish that you never, ever picked it up. And every moment you play this game is a moment you will regret. It's a buggy game. It's a stupid game. It's a lame game that we play. But maybe, let's just hear me out, Pastor Chris. Okay. Maybe if I work hard enough, I can beat the game. Maybe, you know, you weren't good at playing that, dumb 7-year-old you. But maybe I can get past everything and beat the game. And there's at least some satisfaction in beating a game, right? Oh man, I would sit at that game not enjoying it, but thinking, man, if I could just beat it, it would be so sweet. Have you ever kept playing a game that you don't even enjoy anymore because you just want to beat, like you yell at the computer now. You're like, I hate you, Zelda! The princess is in another castle! Gah! You're angry, but you keep playing because you gotta beat this game. We try to beat the game. I'll just keep going. I'm going to beat the game. I'm going to make one more person think about me what's not true. I will beat the game. You know what? I'm in debt, but you know what? I don't have to look like I'm in debt. I'll just keep getting in further debt to impress other people. I'm trying to beat some stupid game. Can I remind you about the Athena video game? Because I played that game for weeks, hours, months, years, and I never could beat it. And so I finally got to the place where I just had to write it off that it was unbeatable last week. I've been playing it. But since that age, that I was like 9, since the age of around 9, I've always wondered, what happens at the end of the game? It's always been a real regret for me, that I don't know what happens when you beat the game. I would think, sure, it's a terrible game, and it's just stupid, and it was lame, and it had all these problems, and yeah, it was aggravating, and I hate that game, but it probably had a cool ending. It probably did. Thanks to the miracle of YouTube, I was able to find someone who actually beat the game, and I want us all together to experience the ending of Athena. You see, it doesn't say congratulations. It doesn't say the end. It doesn't say, brave, heroic heroine Athena, way to go and to defeat the army of Medusa's minions. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, hey, good job, but be vigilant because there's always bad guys out there, and then restart back to the beginning and say, play again. It doesn't do any of that. It just blares the same annoying, terrible music and pauses on that screen until you turn the video game system off. There are many blogs out there of people that write about video games, and they all agree that that is the worst video game ending of all time. It's just the worst. It's practically a glitch. It's like the makers of that video game just gave up. I hope they're okay. Somebody ought to check on those people. They probably gave up on life altogether. There's no credits. That's absolutely true. No credits? Like, they don't want their name on it. Please, I'll pay. Just don't put my name on this thing. You see, you beat the final boss and you're rewarded with lousy music and a main character who does nothing. Just standing in the middle of the screen. There is no reward here. There is no reward here. Do you agree? Can I get an amen on that? In fact, you have to get up off your couch, go over there and just get that nasty thing off your computer, off your TV screen by turning it off. After putting yourself through all the pain of playing that video game, this is the ending that you get. Athena, it's the worst. Can somebody say it's a lame game? Newsflash, the shame game doesn't have a good ending. You can try to justify your failures and hide your shame. You can lie to person after person. You can lie to yourself. You can go through all these things, distracting yourself from the truth. You can play all those things. Even if you're able to fool some people, I have to tell you that the shame game doesn't have an ending you will enjoy. At the end of the day, you will be so fed up with how this game ends. So for too many people, they've reached the end and all they have is regret that they played this game. It is every bit as lame as that Athena game. Forever stuck in an annoying situation with no way to continue. Can I tell you, I want you to say this sentence to someone else. You can't beat the shame game. Look at somebody, tell them, you can't beat the shame game. You can't beat it. Adam and Eve tried. Everybody else tried. Every person that we read about in the Bible is someone else that's tried. They all tried. Adam and Eve, what'd they do? They sowed leaves together. They hid in the garden. They went through all that effort to hide their shame. But in the end, did it even fool God for a moment? Did they even fool themselves for a moment? No, the chimpanzees were like, what are y'all doing? Nobody was fooled. Adam and Eve knew they were naked, and of course God saw right through it. No matter how hard we try, we can't hide our shame from ourselves. We can't hide our shame from God. Listen to me. It's not enough for you to fool everybody else. If you fool everybody, you are not going to be happy because you still know the truth about you. You got to change that. You can't beat the shame game. So here is what you should do. You should put the game down and never pick it back up. You don't have to play this game. That's actually a very great place. I got a 9-year-old me. Wait, I don't have to play this game. I could go run outside. So I did. That was a really peaceful. Wait, you mean I don't have to? I don't enjoy this thing, so I don't have to do this thing anymore? That's a wonderful place to get in life. You need to get to that place in some of the areas of your life. You don't have to do this. You don't have to put up with the ridicule. You don't have to put up with lying. You don't have to try to impress them. So put it down and never pick it back up again. When Adam and Eve couldn't cover themselves, what happened? God covered them. God covered them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. This is the first place in your Bible where blood is shed. Shedding of blood has always been about the covering of shame. This is why Jesus shed his blood, to cover you from shame. God is the only one who can defeat your shame game. God is the only one who can cover your shame. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. When you're baptized into Christ, you are clothed in Him. All your nakedness is covered by Jesus Christ. All your shame is no longer what is seen. Christ is what is visible. Just as an animal died for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, Christ died to cover us. Are you covered? Are you covered? Have you ever been baptized into Christ? Have you been baptized? Anybody, show of hands, you've been baptized into Christ? I love it. That covers you. It clothes you of all your shame. Christ bears your shame. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says this, love bears all things. Love bears all things. Now you listen to me. Because Christ loves you, He bears all things, including your shame. He bore your shame on the cross. Isaiah 53:3, a prophecy about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering and familiar with, somebody said, pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces. Can you say shame? He was despised and held him in low esteem. Verse 4, surely He took up our, somebody said, pain. And bore our suffering, yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him and afflicted. Somebody said shame. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Somebody said pain. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way, but the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity. Somebody said shame. The iniquity and shame of us all. Where was the iniquity and the shame and the pain placed? Then what right do you have to carry it around? What are you doing playing the shame game? He took that on the cross. Every bit of your sin and your shame, the thing that you lay awake at night hoping people don't figure out, Christ already figured out, and He bore it, every bit of it, on the cross. Let Him have it. Get rid of that thing. Your shame is no longer your shame. He took your shame. Your ridicule is no longer your ridicule. He was ridiculed in your place. Your sickness is no longer your sickness. He took your sickness. Do you understand what Jesus Christ did for you? Jesus bears your shame. Love bears all things. And He bears all things for you. Will you stop playing the shame game and allow Jesus to bear your shame? We're going to look at a few more verses right here. I'm going to go ahead and ask our musician to come. Isaiah 54:4. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame. This is Jesus. What He does for us, He sets us free forever from the shame. You can't, some of you can't imagine getting to a place where you forget that shame. But the Bible says you will forget the shame. Romans 10:11. Anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Do I have any believers in the house? What are you doing messing with shame? Anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. Are you ready to stop playing the shame game? I want to tell you, last point right here, stop trying to hide your shame. Confess your shame. Everybody said confess. Are you willing to confess your shame to God? Real quick, can I tell you, He's the only one that's really safe enough to reveal your shame to confess your shame to. There's some people in life, man, don't tell them because it'll be everywhere on Facebook. Oh, wow, that's so amazing. Do you mind if I blog about this? I'm so sorry you've gone through this, but it's going to be really interesting to my readers. What's your middle name and your social security so I can tell everyone? But you can tell God about your shame. Confess it to Him. I want you to pay close attention to this last passages of verses here. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Stop trying to hide your shame. Stop trying to hide your sin. Put the leaves down, Adam and Eve. If you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that in this place today? I mean all of it. Not part of it. Well, yeah, I'll forgive you of those things because, yeah, but no, that's on you forever. No, confess it and it's forgiven and you're cleansed of it forever. But what, do I have to like come back every hour on the hour and ask Him? No. What about every year on Easter I have to ask Him? No, it's forgiven, forgotten. You're cleansed of it forever. Verse 10, 1 John 1, 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. Can I tell you, this is serious. You listen to me. If you're in this house today and you're holding on to shame and you don't confess it to Him and you walk out of this place like, oh, I'm not really dealing with everything, and you walk out with that huge boulder of shame still on you, you've made it much worse because you just made Him out to be a liar. Everybody in this place is a sinner. Yeah, everybody. The guy who preached to you today, a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Him to remove our shame. We all have something to confess to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim that we don't have this thing, if you've been dealing with this thing, but you act like you're okay, you are messing up big time. Now that ends the chapter, but the next verse, I want you to look at it. It's chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. It's like, guys, now don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you, go on a sinning shopping spree. Just sin, 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 so you can pray about it later and He forgives you. But these next words, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. I need to talk to you for 1 second. We're about to close, but I got to tell you, I've run into so many Christians that believe Jesus will forgive other people of their sins, but not believe Jesus will forgive them of their sins because they messed up. They knew willingly that they sinned and God won't forgive them anymore. That's what they say. I want to tell you that this verse, it applies to you today. That if you sin, if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. If you're sitting in this place and you've written yourself off like, God won't forgive me of this anymore, I want you to just bear this verse in your heart a little bit. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate. If that's you, if you have sinned, I want to tell you, you have an advocate today. And it's Jesus Christ. He's in this place. And what He puts on you is not shame. He clothes you with Himself. He puts His righteousness on you. He puts His peace on you. He puts His love on you. He puts His tender mercy and His kindness. He puts His grace on you if you're willing to let go of your shame. We do 3 things every time we come to Redemption Church. We worship God together. We've done that. We receive the Word of God together. We've done that. The 3rd thing is this. I want you to talk to God. However you feel comfortable doing that, I want you to do that. But I also want to challenge you. If this verse, if this chapter has been, if this sermon, this word of God today has been for you, I want to challenge you right now. Take a step from your chair. Leave behind the shame forever. You can do it right now. I want you to come to the first, this area right here. We call it the altar. And I want you to talk to God right now in this place. If you've got a special need in your life you want prayer for, I want you to come in the first 2 feet of this altar. It lets us know that you want somebody to pray for you. Far too many times churches open their altars just for quote-unquote sinners. The truth is we're all sinners. The truth is we're probably all fighting shame. The truth is we've all met a serpent that's made us a victim of packaging. Why don't you talk to God right now in this place? Come on, spend a few moments talking to Him. Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You that You're faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. Father, I ask, Lord, that we would just stop trying to hide our shame. Stop trying to hide our sin. Stop trying to cover it with leaves or whatever is around us, Lord. Let's hand it all over to You. The victory that we need is in You, and the hope that we need is in You. The healing that we need is in You. Father, touch every person in this place, God. Let them feel Your presence. Let them feel Your kindness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God. I want to pray with some people. I want some people to put down the shame game and never put it up
again. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.